Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. Share the show, rate the show, do whatever you can. We appreciate the help with the algorithms. If you want to connect with me directly, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggressions and on Instagram at Macroaggressions Podcast. Hey, if you're going to be in the New York City area on the weekend of September 11th, September 9th to be particular, Saturday, September 9th, 2023, there's an event, Free World NYC. It's being hosted by Billy Ray Valentine, my good friend. And a lot of us are going to be there speaking. We would love for you to come grab a ticket and see us there. I'll be there. Gardner Goldsmith, John Brisson, Tony Arterburn, Wayne McCroy, Don Jeffries, Richard Gage. It's all happening. We're all going to be there. Free World NYC is the event. You can either click the link in the description or you can go to eventbrite.com and just type in the words Free World NYC and you'll find it there. So love to have you guys come hang out with us for, I've never been to New York for September 11th season. So that'll be interesting. Also, thanks to our sponsors. We appreciate you guys. You make the show happen. Chemical Free Body has been here from the beginning, making outstanding products that we all need. I take Green 85 every morning. It looks gross, but it tastes pretty good. I mean, I think you would be surprised at how good it tastes. It definitely has had a huge impact on me. I feel a whole lot better, sharper all throughout the day. And I definitely make up for not eating the vegetables that I should eat through the use of my Green 85 habit that I've developed over the last 3 years. If I don't have it, I start to feel a little jonesy. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe Tim's putting something in the Green 85 over there. Wouldn't be chemicals though. We know that much, but if you're interested, go to chemicalfreebody.com, take a look around, see what you find. If there's something in there that you like and you throw it in your shopping cart, use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself a bunch of money. Also, thanks to Legal Shield, they've been helping people get access to an attorney for half a century in Canada and the United States. And thank goodness that they're around because they've been able to level the playing field for a bunch of us. You know, it's you feel like I can't afford a good lawyer or, and you know, I need to get a last will and testament or medical directive, financial power of attorney. I've got to get all these documents done. It's going to cost me a couple grand. I don't really want to spend the money, but I have to have it. Well, Legal Shield's an option for you because it will get you access to an attorney in your area for a very reasonable price. $30 a month is about as reasonable as it gets to have access to an attorney. not just any old attorney either. Typically, on average, they have 22 years of experience. So you're going to get a good one that can help you sort out a lot of things. They tell us equal justice under the law, but you know, I mean, who really believes that? We all know if you've got a good attorney, things happen differently for you. So be aware that this service is available. If you're somebody that is getting ready, they have a pre-trial component. If you want to add that on to your, you know, sort of like an a la carte item to your Legal Shield membership, you can add that on. If you run a small business, you can add that on. If you're somebody that carries a gun, there's options for that as well. So there's a lot going on. I'll tell you what, best place for you to go to find out if this is right for you is the website that they set up specifically for us for this show. www.don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go to find out everything that you need to know about Legal Shield. I'll tell you what, once you realize this service is out there, you're going to get your money's worth and then some. It's a dollar a day. I mean, it's you piss that money away doing all kinds of unspeakable things. A dollar a day to have access to an attorney might be worth it. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go. Well, we're going to talk about DARPA. We're going to talk about and this whole area. It's not just DARPA. I used to think that it was only defense that they were working on with this advanced research. But no. It's been so successful that they have branched off into spinoffs. It's like some shitty television show that they just, they say, well, if the first one worked, then why don't we just run the concept into the ground and just do a million of these things until everybody's turned off. Well, that's what DARPA's done too, because they've branched out into a variety of different industries. And I'm going to get into a little bit about that, about what they're doing now and why, you know, listen, if robot dogs have you freaked out, and rightly they should, then you're not going to like what else they're up to, because robot dogs is the proverbial tip of the iceberg here, because what these lunatics have planned for us, well, let's just say that we'll be begging for robot dogs after this whole thing is laid out to you. But I think it's also kind of important to understand, like, what is DARPA? Like, how did it come about, and who's running it, and why are they doing this? And is this really, like, are they making the Terminator in there? Is that kind of what's going on? The answer is yes, of course. Of course, this is the group that's making the Terminator or RoboCop or any of the things that you've seen in the movies that go rogue and shoot up and murder everybody. Oh, I assure you, if there's an agency that is responsible for it, it's DARPA. Guaranteed. I wouldn't be surprised if they got bonuses for coming up with the scariest concept imaginable, because what I've been seeing from these people over the last 15 years is nothing short of terrifying. Of course, it's all defense, right? They're defending us against, you know, outside forces like, you know, humanity. It's very, very scary. But I guess we'll start at the beginning. We'll start at kind of where it came out of, because I think if you understand who was behind it, you'll go, okay, I get this. I understand what the purpose of DARPA was. I understand why you would feel the need to create an agency like this and finance it to the extent that they did, and when they did it, and, you know, all that makes sense. The problem is that with any agency that you give government access to for a long period of time, eventually it gets compromised and bastardized and turned into something that, you know, turned into a weapon that is turned on the people. And that's what DARPA has become. It's less about defense. It's more about offense. And some of the products that they're making are downright offensive. So let's talk about this. In 1958, Dwight Eisenhower starts ARPA, A-R-P-A. You know they love those acronyms. Advanced Research Projects Agency. And this was started in response to Sputnik 1 going up in 1957. They saw that and they went, oh shit, we're behind. We might need to catch up. Like, let's throw a bunch of money at it. Let's make sure that our operation paperclip scientists are working harder than their operation paperclip scientists are working, because obviously the Soviets got some of the scientists from the Germans as well. But we were behind, you know, until we lapped them with the moon landing. Okay. Yeah, we just came out of nowhere. We were like, down the stretch they come. You know, it's like the USA has finally made it to the moon. In a tin can that looks like I made it in my garage while I was high on paint thinner or something. I mean, it's ridiculous, of course, but that is our history, that for better or worse. What wound up happening was that this ARPA was basically like a collaboration between the government and academia and big business. What could possibly go wrong with that, right? But their mission was like to expand their understanding of science and technology. Nothing inherently nefarious about that. We're always trying to expand our knowledge of science and technology for a variety of reasons. You know, it could just be that you're running a business and you want to invest in research and development so that your product, the next version of your product, is better than the previous version. I mean, I've got no problem with expanding our understanding of science and technology, provided that once we have additional knowledge about this science and technology, we're not weaponizing it and using it against our own people, or really anybody, but especially against our own people. And that, I think, is what's the most alarming about this, is that when you get government and academia and big business together in the same room, they all have different goals. But one thing is pretty much universal, is that they want control. And if they've got a device that they can use that will give them control over others or keep them in power, they tend to love those things. So the purpose of ARPA was to create advances in technology for the military, not for the present day, not giving them the bombs that they need to fight next month's war, but rather giving them the technology to fight next generation's war. You know, advancing it, going completely crazy with it, taking it as far as you can go, and not just making like slight incremental moves, but making massive changes to the entire concept of the weapons industry or the intelligence gathering apparatus or satellites or space planes or space lasers or all the crazy shit that DARPA has been into over the years. It came out of the mission of this group, which is to create the next generation of technology for humanity. Now, eventually, it gets kind of narrowed down into the next generation of weapons for the defense industry. But when it started, it was more open-ended. Their original budget was in 1958, when they were started, their original budget was $520 million, which is a shitload of money in 1958. In fact, I went and did the calculation on it. Turned out it's $5.4 billion in today's money. So right off the bat, they gave them a ton of money, but there was a problem. You see, there's another agency that started in 1958 as well, that is also going to require quite a bit of money, and they're also going to be up to no good. And that is NASA. And they started ARPA and then almost immediately started NASA. And then what happened was that most of that $520 million budget went over to NASA from ARPA instead. So they just said, whoa, we meant to give you all this $520 million, but we didn't know NASA was going to come later this year too. Or maybe they did. I don't know. But they go, but so NASA's going to need, like, we're going to need that money back. Hey man, you know that money I loaned you? I'm going to need it back. Well, I'm going to need most of it back because I'm going to give it to NASA and they're definitely going to spend it well. But you guys over here at ARPA, don't worry, we'll figure you out. Just make cool shit and then we'll get back to you. And that's what they did. So once the money was repurposed to NASA, then the overall mission of ARPA changed, as well as what they were, you know, what they were doing. And what they were doing was something that they sort of, you'll find a theme that runs through all the divisions of ARPA and all the incarnations of it from 1958 all the way through to the present day, you'll find that there is a concept called high risk, high reward. It's not their concept, but that is a theme that runs through all of the development, which is, you know, the sort of the motto in the tech startup industry, move fast and break stuff. That's kind of what ARPA was doing. They said, we've got money for you, maybe not as much as we initially thought with NASA, but we want you to start working on research that's high risk but high reward. Like, if you make a mistake with this, you might blow up the entire laboratory. But if you're right, we can go to the moon. That's kind of like what they were talking about. And eventually, part of this high risk, high reward mentality led to the development of all kinds of technology, right? And of course, you know, given that what we're currently hearing in these days about extraterrestrial involvement and reverse engineered ships and the like of all this, you know, listen, a case can be made that maybe some of the technology that found its way into ARPA was being reverse engineered elsewhere. We know that if you are to believe the story that downed a craft not from this planet were found, then the story goes that the government took them and then the government eventually partnered with big business and said, you guys find the commercial use for this stuff. And so if that is the case, then most definitely ARPA would have been involved in some of this. And one of the things that their research and technology wound up spawning was something called ARPANET. And ARPANET was the backbone of what would eventually be known to the world as the internet. So you can thank DARPA for being able to listen to or watch this podcast because they created the internet along with Donald Trump, apparently. I don't know. I think, didn't he say he created the internet? No, maybe that was, that might've been Joe Biden. And it's hard to keep track. Might've been Marco Rubio for all we know. But the Department of Defense understood how important it would be to have like a very agile, tech-focused company like this, a group to develop, to work on their R&D projects that the military would need for the future. And for future wars, for future invasions, of course, you know, under the guise of defending us, which they rarely do, and, you know, as well as for, I don't know, whatever you'd call it, national security. Let's just call it that. So the Department of Defense loved ARPA. And they thought it was a really interesting concept. They liked that they could get new tech out of there. This is a lot like James Bond, right? When James Bond goes to Q and gets the new technology, the shoe that, you know, launches a bullet, you know, fires a bullet, or the underwear, the, you know, turns into a parachute or whatever, you know. So that's DARPA in the UK. It's their fake version of it. And so throughout the early 1960s, ARPA was focused on developing technology related to ballistic missile defense. You know what I mean? Things like that. We're talking about, this is the beginning of some tension with Russia in the 60s. We've got you know, flare ups starting in Vietnam and the like. And so ballistic missiles were a thing, and ARPA was more than happy to work on those. They were working on nuclear test detection as well, so that if you could tell if some other country was, you know, if a, I don't know, a North Korea type were out there testing nuclear weapons, they would have a detection device that would be able to tell the Americans, hey, there's something else, there's somebody else in, you know, playing with this technology in some other neighborhood. And ARPA was involved in that. They were involved in space, what we would describe as non-civilian space program, so the militarization of space. But here's the thing, that also they didn't get branded as being just a space component, because every branch of the military has their own developed space program. You know, so there's a component of that. Now we have Space Force, and it seems like they're trying to roll everything into Space Force. And of course, every time I say the word Space Force, I hear Midnight Mike's sound drop of Donald Trump saying Space Force, you know, that he plays at OPDM like 8 times an episode. It's funny because it's called Space Force. You know what I mean? It's pretty funny. Let's be honest. I mean, you say what you want about Donald Trump, funniest president of our lifetime. Started the space branch, named it Space Force. It's pretty funny. So not just space, ARPA was also working on computer processing development as well as directed energy research and development. So the directed energy component, it encompasses a couple of things. Yes, it includes the super scary directed energy that you're thinking of. That's like the space. I don't know if you ever saw the space shuttle footage. Is that 1991, and you can see it's from orbit, and it's looking out into space, but you can kind of see Earth kind of below it, and you see a little thing coming and floating, and then this space beam from Earth goes shooting right by it, and the little craft or whatever it is does like a 90-degree turn and zips out of there super fast, and you see this particle beam go right by where it was and miss it. That's ARPA. That's what they're working on. Directed energy, you can have this conversation with the wrong group and they'll fit you for a tinfoil hat, but have this conversation with Alana Freeland and she'll tell you directed energy is the tip of the iceberg with regard to this, and that all of these things have been in place for decades. This is not new. This is not your imagination. This is not conspiracy theory. This is just technology. It's quietly being done. It's secret, of course. They don't really talk too much about the high-frequency directed energy weapons that can kill you, but you will know the less scary directed energy technology known as radar. That's a form of directed energy. There's nothing inherently nefarious about radar. What about X-rays, infrared sensing, things like that? This is a form of directed energy as well. So again, it depends on what you want to do with this technology. You want to use it to make a toaster that never burns your toast? Great. But if you want to use that same toaster to, you know, peel the skin off of somebody during an interrogation, it might be the same technology. I don't know. So it just is, how far do you want to take it and whose hands are you going to put it in? But we do owe, like, you know, DARPA gets a bad rap, and I think rightly so, because their technology is dystopian. It feels like a Black Mirror episode. In the case of the robot dogs, it quite literally was a Black Mirror episode. So you know, we're not wrong to be paranoid about what DARPA is working on, for sure. But we also have to recognize that some of the technology that we are currently using, become dependent on, is integrated into our life, came as a result of the work that this previous incarnation of the group was doing back when they were ARPA. They built a system called Transit, which eventually became known as something called the Global Positioning System that was used for moving satellites into position. You'll probably know it best as GPS. That's an ARPA creation. And this is not the first time that you see researched material like this that's kind of initially classified, very useful for the military, gets used for a generation, improvements are made, they pivot to the improvements, and then they roll out the second, you know, the crappy stuff that they just got done using, and they roll that out commercially. We've seen that with the CIA running the Keyhole program. Speaking of global positioning system for satellites, we've seen the Keyhole program, which is GPS global mapping, and that was created by the CIA through funding for InQtel. But of course, you would know Keyhole much better as Google Maps, because that's what it is. I actually remember it when it was Keyhole back in the 90s. I remember when we were playing around with that for a project that right out of college.
And I remember thinking, this is crazy technology. You could see anything with this. That was 96, 95 when we were playing around with it. So they've been involved in a lot of projects and items that you recognize, you know, but you just didn't know it. But in 1972, the Department of Defense took over the program because there were so many defense applications for it. They just kind of muscled in and wound up taking it over, changing the names, renaming it as Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or what's better known as DARPA. So let's talk a little bit about DARPA now. We've now moved from ARPA into DARPA. We added the D. The D is for defense, don't you know? They'd never use it for offense. They pinky promised. In 1973, the Mansfield Amendment limited DARPA to only military projects. So many of their computer scientists that they had employed left. They left to go work at private corporations like Xerox PARC and places like that. Interesting Bill Gates' mother connection to Xerox PARC. And you know, these are the places that you would go if now that DARPA has become, you know, it's pivoted from ARPA, which was more open to all kinds of technologies. Now they're just strictly defense, and you go, okay, well, fine. I'm in the computer industry, but I'm not really in the defense industry. This doesn't, you know, doesn't really work for me, or they don't need me. So I'm going to go elsewhere, and I'm going to go get into the to the private side of the emerging computer industry or whatever. So that's what wound up happening. So during the 1970s, the focus of DARPA, besides being just defense, was that they were working on some projects, and projects that you may have heard of, or projects that you might have suspect that they worked on. High energy lasers for space-based missile defense. That's what one of the things that they called it. We call it Star Wars. From the 80s, Strategic Defense Initiative, the Star Wars SDI, if you remember Reagan talking about that. And there were some questions like, is this real? I mean, is he pitching a real concept for this? Or is this some bullshit that he's trying to convince the Soviets that they need to have as well, like it's an arms race in space in order to bankrupt the Soviets? Well, the answer could have been both, actually. Because he could have been bluffing that they were going to launch Star Wars and that it was going to be the end for the Russians. And Russia definitely was investing a lot of more money than they had really the ability to invest into space and all the things surrounding that after the success of Sputnik. Why wouldn't they? And they got into a bit of an arms race with the US. And then in the end, you know, the Soviet Union did go bankrupt. And the United States never did put out Star Wars, and people always thought, well, maybe it was just fake. Maybe we were just bluffing. Well, DARPA was working on this. They were actually working on it. It's called High Energy Lasers for Space-Based Missile Defense. That's what it is. It's Star Wars. And so whether or not they had it, whether or not it's up there now, I don't know. I mean, we know they've got the Rod of God technology up there. If you've ever seen that Tianjin explosion in China, that was rumored to have been the result of Rod of God technology, which is like a tungsten telephone pole. picture something the size of like a wooden telephone pole, I don't know, three stories tall, that's just pure tungsten being held up in space by a satellite and then dropped into the precise orbit to get that running start as it goes straight down into the earth. And by the time it hits you like a nuclear missile. Well, I don't know what hit that city in Tianjin or that city block, but it vaporized it. Anyone who wants to go watch that, it's like 2015, I think. And it's in China, and you'll know it when you see it. Cause you feel like you were looking at a nuclear bomb, but this is what DARPA does. They're making infrared space-based surveillance. You know, this is the 70s too. It's not like, I'm not talking about they were working on this last week. Who the fuck knows what they were working on last week? Okay. But we know what they're working on in the 70s. They're working on the sorts of things that we have now. Advanced aircrafts, cruise missiles, particle beams, automatic target recognition when you lock on to, you know, you've got you're in the military, obviously we're talking about defense, you've got a tracking device, you lock on to a enemy tank, and this is a technology that automatically locks onto that. So that was an advancement. They were working on advances in propulsion. They were working on tactical armor. They were working on anti-armor. They were working on integrated circuits. I mean, this is if you are a hardcore scientist geek, this is where you wanted to work. Okay. Because you were going to be working on like cutting edge technology. You were going to be involved in things that were so beyond what you could work on anywhere else, that it would probably be a real joy for people to, you know, for scientists that were into this stuff. But, you know, listen, I mean, over the years, this technology has been weaponized, you know, and it's, I mean, probably from the beginning, it was always had dual purposes, one to be used as a defensive or offensive capabilities, and one to eventually be used commercially. So these are some of the things that they'd been working on that DARPA's been involved in over the years that have become normalized. Drones. Who's building drones? DARPA was. Brain-computer interface. They've been working on that for a while. Stealth technology, all this stuff, the B-2 stealth bomber, the B-117 stealth fighter. These are the stealth technology that came out of DARPA. What about mRNA technology for vaccines? Where did that come from? Came from our buddy Dr. Robert Malone and DARPA. So you see, it's just a matter of time before they take some of these toys out for a joyride in our reality now. You know, God knows how long they were working on these projects in advance. But they described this agency, I guess the government describes this as the military's in-house innovator. They've worked on a variety of things. You might have remembered DARPA's LifeLog program. You've heard them talk about the LifeLog program, right? This was designed to, quote, to gather in a single place just about everything an individual says, sees, or does. But it was eventually killed off on February 4th, 2004, the exact same day that it was reborn in the private sector under a new name, a name that you might recognize, the Facebook. So that's what happens when you get Google, InQtel, DARPA, the military, the CIA. You get a lot of these groups involved in working together on technology. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to launch the social media site that's financed by the CIA and built by DARPA and get the general public to trust you when it comes from, you know, a bunch of bloodthirsty military industrial complex scientists. So what you might want to do is, instead pretend like you killed the program, rebirth it on the other in you know, not too far away in a dorm room in Harvard, give it to some intelligence asset whose family has always had intelligence ties, the Zuckerbergs, and just let this kid pretend like he invented it, right? Wink, wink. So enjoy your life log, everybody, while you update and get your birthday greetings and well wishes and whatnot. But don't worry. Don't worry, everybody. They might have given up life log, but they didn't give up a bunch of the other super scary programs that they're working on, like experimental aircraft and how to fly swarms of drones that can talk to each other, that don't need GPS and don't need external help, you know, drone swarms. That sounds like fun. And of course, they've been hard at work on neural implants for soldiers. And of course, where would we be without remote controlled insects that they're working on? So sleep tight. Sleep tight. And remember, whatever you do, don't think about the X-37B. You remember the mini space shuttle that just did orbits around the Earth for 3 years and nobody was, you know, we were supposed to pretend like we don't know what's going on and what's going on. That's DARPA's baby. The mini space shuttle, that's them. That's them, you know. But man, and they made some bad things, but they made some good things too. You know, if you're using an onion router, if you're using Tor, the onion router, then that's a DARPA technology. But, you know, I mean, you get excited. You go, oh, hey, they've created a router that you can't get spied on. And then you go, yeah, but they also created HARP. You go, well, fuck. They just, you know, you think that they got one good invention and then they've got a 10 nefarious ones. But I told you it was going to get worse. And of course it is, because it's not just DARPA anymore. No, they've expanded. And yes, it's as bad as you think it's going to be. Let's talk about medical DARPA. Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health. ARPA-H. They could have called it HARPA. You know, missed an opportunity there. This agency is brand new. Okay. It's almost as if it was just sitting around waiting for a global pandemic to come and provide an excuse for its existence in 2022, which is exactly what happened. It's set up as an independent agency within NIH, National Institute of Health, and it's at this agency was created at the suggestion of none other than Dr. Francis Collins, who should rightly be strung up for his role in the COVID scam. But luckily he suggested, let's do a DARPA, but you know, for health. That'll scare the shit out of the general public. And he thought robot dogs were bad. Wait till you see robot dogs injecting you with vaccines. So it was his idea, and the reason was to, quote, make pivotal investments in breakthrough technologies from molecular to societal. This is what we're doing. And they came out of the gates with a lot of money, kind of like ARPA did back in 1958. They came out with $1.5 billion in this year, 2023. That's going to increase to $2.5 billion the following year. So they've got some money to spend, $4 billion over the next 24 months to, as they claim, to seek biomedical and health breakthroughs to provide transformative solutions for all patients. Oh, they're going to transform you, all right, into a transhuman in which you will have no rights and eat the bugs. But it's new. So this is the thing. You're going to need to keep your eyes on it because it's brand new and it hasn't really done anything yet. They're staffing up. They have a sort of, you know, a stipulation in their charter. They have to have three different offices in three different regions, and they haven't gotten that far yet. So like I said, they're working on all of this, but it's going to work kind of like, let me put it in like a tech comparison. If you remember what Bill Gross was doing with Idea Labs back in the 90s, or Y Combinator, or a venture capital firm that has like an incubator component to it, you know, that's what this is. The ARPA-H is like, and it's almost like a venture capital fund where they're going to have a lot of money. And it's not necessarily that they are going to be doing all of the work, but if you're somebody that has a really good idea, then basically what will happen is that you'll submit your concept for consideration. And if it's selected, then you'll manage that project for the next 3 to 6 years using the millions of dollars that ARPA-H has to invest. But I'll tell you what, you better have a Lebanese lesbian with a limp and a lisp on your board of directors, because this company is woke as fuck, because they want everybody to be involved in diversity. It's a huge deal to them. You know, they're getting ESG money. You know, they care about their ESG score. So you might have the greatest idea in the world, but if you don't tick all the diversity boxes, well, good luck with your getting your money. So they do want to work on, this is what they say, research on cancer prevention. Oh, God. Research on cancer prevention, healthcare access, equality, and quality is what they're all about. Yeah, it's always equality. So anyway, that's what they're into. How that plays a role in any of this, don't strain your brain. It doesn't, but it does in their world, where we're all stunning and brave in snowflakes that can do no wrong and we're perfect. Yeah. As you're making robot dogs that can inject you with vaccines, let's make sure that we're focused on equity. That's what really matters here, right? So what are the areas that ARPA-H is getting into? Oh, don't worry, everybody. It's nothing major, just cancer vaccines using mRNA technology. Because the COVID technology was so great, right? As sportscasters, soccer players, football players, basketball referees, politicians, anybody that was standing with a microphone in their hand in front of a camera were dropping dead left, right, and center. By all means, let's cure cancer with, checks notes, mRNA technology. Great. What a great idea. Let's do that. I'll tell you what. I'll pass. You let me know how it goes. Okay. I'll take chemotherapy before with a 2.1% survivability rate after 5 years. I'll take chemotherapy with my 2.1% survivability rate over mRNA cancer vaccines. Thank you very much. I'll pass. They're working on pandemic preparedness and prevention. I'm assuming that means that they're making the pandemic. I don't know. I mean, it seems like maybe they're creating the pandemic. They don't really say that. They say they want to be prepared for it, but maybe the reason why they're prepared for it is because they're creating it. Therefore, they know it's coming. I don't know. They're working on less intrusive wearable blood glucose monitors. Okay. I mean, again, you have to have a retail side to this too. You got to make money. These grants that they're giving out aren't coming out of charity. They want to make money on this too. So they're working on patient-specific T-cell therapies. Oh, I think you mean like based on your genome and your genetic structure? I seem to think that I heard RFK Jr. talking about this recently, and it sent people into a panic, talking about how anti-Semitic he was, how they were talking about how you could target things by gene type. Well, ARPA-H is working on this technology. So take it up with them, I guess. And improved medication disbursement, which means smart pills that you swallow and then they track you. Do you imagine getting a text message like 8 o'clock at night? It's like, hello, this is Big Brother. You forgot to take your pill this morning. You're like, oh, I guess I did. That's coming. So, well, let's talk about who's running ARPA-H, because at least if we know who's running ARPA-H, you know, that'll set our mind at ease. And then we won't be so worried about if, you know, whether or not this technology gets into the wrong hands. So surely we're going to find somebody that's running ARPA-H that's not a devious sociopath, mass murderer, bloodthirsty killer, right? Right? Wrong. You are not going to like the answer. We have got Renee Wegerzin, who comes from, wait for it, Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, where she was a fellow. Does that mean a fella? Are we talking gender stuff here? Oh, a fellow. Okay. Is that a non-binary term? Who fucking cares? So we've got Renee from Johns Hopkins, where she's a fellow and most definitely going to be involved in the next Event 201. Do we call it Event 202? I don't know, maybe. But she'll be involved in that. And she was there. She had been there for a while and continues to be at Johns Hopkins. She's a fellow. I mean, she comes and goes. She doesn't have to be there full time. It's not like a full-time job, but she's just somebody they bring in when they need, I don't know, to destroy humanity, I suppose. But before heading to ARPA-H, she was at the parent company, DARPA. Okay, no real surprise, where she ran the totally not scary biological technologies office from 2016 to 2020, focusing on synthetic biology and biosecurity. And what are we worried about facing?
we're worried about facing synthetic biology and biosecurity. So she's the perfect person to carry out this plan. But, you know, and listen, working at DARPA is you know, it's great, I guess, if you're a scientist, but if you're somebody that has aspirations for world government, depopulation, thinning the herd, you know, then it's a scary place to be on your, you know, to have on your resume that you worked at DARPA, knowing all the things that go on there. But don't worry, her previous employer before that was Booz Allen Hamilton. So where she was a senior lead technologist from 2009 to 2016, Booz Allen Hamilton, that's Edward Snowden. That's where he worked, right? Defense, military defense contractor, deep ties to Pentagon, all that good stuff. She's also involved with a company called Ginkgo Bioworks as the vice president of business development, where she was, oh, I'll set your mind at ease, guys. She was only working on genetically engineering to produce bacteria with industrial applications for many biotech companies. She worked on something called the Metagenomic Database for Research. And this company is a private, Ginkgo Bioworks, a private company worth about $4 billion. And that's where she was. She is also a senior advisor for the Nuclear Threat Initiative. So, I don't like that. Well, yeah, I don't like that either. It's a super sketchy think tank that was founded in 2001 by Ted Turner that is trying to, quote, protect humanity from nuclear and biological threats. Weird for the depopulation guy to be thinking about this, don't you think? Like, shouldn't he be welcoming something like a nuclear or biological attack? I mean, Ted Turner said that we need to get the population down to about 2 billion. So he's in favor of murdering 3/4 of the people on the planet, but he started the Nuclear Threat Initiative and named Rene Wegerson as a senior advisor, and they're going to protect humanity from nuclear and biological threats. You know, when I read this, and I know who Ted Turner is, a depopulation aficionado, if ever there was one, the people that are trying to protect humanity from nuclear and biological threats, why do I get the wild idea that they're going to be the ones perpetrating nuclear and biological threats while pretending to be the ones protecting humanity from it? I mean, I've seen them run this play 1,000 times. I know this game. This is embarrassing. So So keep your eyes on Nuclear Threat Initiative if you start to hear that in the news at any time. They received $50 million in financing from Warren Buffett, who also gave $31 billion to Bill Gates to continue his depopulation agenda. So I'm sure Warren Buffett's just really worried about nuclear war, right? He's so worried. He gave it to them to, quote, transform global security by driving systemic solutions to nuclear and biological threats imperiling humanity. Warren Buffett loves humanity while he's calling the cops on people speaking at Berkshire Hathaway shareholder meetings that are exposing his relationship with Bill Gates. But he loves humanity, everybody. And the Nuclear Threat Initiative has partnered with the World Health Organization for infectious disease outbreaks. And they launched their own NGO called Connecting Organizations for Disease Surveillance, CORDS. And what this does is it links the surveillance networks of the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and the Food and Agricultural Organization together. So again, the lady that's running the health version of DARPA is a senior advisor to the Nuclear Threat Initiative. And the Nuclear Threat Initiative is organizing disease surveillance and has partnered with the United Nations and the World Health Organization to tap into their surveillance networks. Okay. So I ask you, health DARPA, surveillance. Can you see them going together? Can you see them fitting nicely? Can you see them wanting
to surveil the general public through the health care system? I mean, this is of course something they would want to do, to monitor you from the inside. Smart pills, neuro implants, all this good stuff. Know where you are, know where you aren't, know what you're talking about, know what your body looks like. I don't know, maybe push a button and your head pops off. I mean, who knows, really? The head popping thing would be, we'd catch on pretty quick if that was it. But again, you could depopulate the planet very easily if you had everybody on board with some sort of health surveillance network, and you had access to them through ARPA-H, and you had smart pills that they were taking every day, and you could make those pills do all kinds of things to people. So, and one more thing for the nuclear threat initiative, as if you weren't freaked out enough already by it, they're really into gene editing too. Yeah. And she's a senior advisor to this group. So it's depopulation, deep state depopulation. You know, that's really kind of what they're into with this. It's not, it shouldn't be too surprising that the health side of DARPA would be just as terrifying as the defense side of DARPA, because you can imagine just the implications of this. You know, you can sort of extrapolate out and you go, well, I know what they did with DARPA. You know, first it's like, oh, well, we have to have satellites to compete against the Russians. And then the next thing you know, it's robot dogs. So, and who are programmed to come find you. So you know that it could start off well-intentioned, though I don't believe any of these things start off well-intentioned, but you could maybe make the argument, oh, it's for our defense, it's for our improved health, it's for whatever. Fine. Even if I give you the benefit of the doubt and say that they do start off with the aim of improving humanity, it doesn't take long before they pivot. And it becomes, how do we use this technology to, you know, enslave and control people? And that's kind of where it goes. So DARPA, well, first ARPA, and then it gets taken over or sort of merged in, and the Defense Department takes over. So then it becomes DARPA. So now we're talking about defense. Then DARPA says, well, we're going to spin up. We're going to have additional ARPAs. You know, why stop with defense? We could have a variety of these. We should, you know, it was so successful with defense, we could do one for health. And they have. But did you know that there are others? In fact, there have been a bunch of them that have been around for a while. Have you ever heard of HSARPA? Doesn't roll off the tongue. It's the HSARPA. Would you like to take a guess what the HS stands for? Oh, it's bad. If you guessed Homeland Security ARPA, then you are correct. And it is Homeland Security Advanced Research Projects Agency. Guess what? They've been around for almost 20 years. They were started in 2006. Okay. And they're creating advanced technology for customs and border protection. Okay. I have a question. 2006, you say you've been working on this? That's right. So at least 15 years? Yes. And you say you're working on advanced technology for the border protection? You want to protect the border? Yeah, that's right. Why have 7 million people come across the southern border in the last 2 years? Do you have any advanced technology for that? Or is this part of the trick? Is that there is no technology? That this is giant money laundering operation, that you guys have been buying lottery tickets and prostitutes with all this money? Because you've got to give me a little bit more than we're working on advanced technology for border protection for the last 16 years, and then show me that the border is wide open, completely unprotected, and waves of human beings are walking across unfettered. So either where's the border protection technology, or can we have our money back? Because you guys aren't doing much. And so what they did, and what kind of all these ARPA
spinoff shows do is that they award procurement contracts, grants, cooperative agreements for research or prototypes into various groups that approach them. Some of them are governmental groups, some of them are academic groups, some of them are private groups. But if you have a technology, if you're building something that you think is really advanced and it might work well on a border, on the border, you know, if you were actually serious about enforcing border restrictions, then you could approach them with your project and do the same sorts of things that that ARPA-H was doing, which is, you know, pitch your idea. And we'll give you, and if we like your idea, we'll let you work on it for 3 to 6 years and you can perfect it and we've got a budget for you. So that's, so the Homeland Security version of ARPA has been around for a while. There's more. Would you like to hear about them? Might as well, since we're talking about it. How about ARPA-E, Advanced Research Projects Agency-Energy, is tasked with pushing for the development of advanced energy technologies. This came about in 2009. They were given $400 million in initial funding under Obama, and they went on to host things like the Energy Innovation Summit, where like 1,700 people showed up and was kind of known, and they did the same thing. They award procurement contracts to over, in the case of ARPA-E, the energy one, they've awarded contracts to over 1,000 different projects. And additionally, they have raised capital, private money, for 179 of those 1,000 plus projects. So about $5 billion they've been able to raise from private interests that want to go into developing advanced energy research. I mean, it's a reasonable thing to want to do. You want to get, whether that's like the clean coal technology, which isn't really clean, it's more just a buzzword, or fracking, or these new ways that you want to extract energy out of the ground, or build a better mousetrap, or, you know, refine natural gas in a different way, a different method, whatever. If you've got a great idea for this, ARPA-E is the place to go, because they've raised quite a bit of money, $5 billion from private capital, $2.6 billion of R&D just from the government. So there's a lot of money at stake there, and they've got it. They've been around since 2009 doing this. So again, most of these agencies we never hear of. We don't know what they're doing, but they're out there working on advanced projects. We have another one, ARPA-I, the Advanced Research Projects Agency-Infrastructure. Okay, so what they're doing is they back to this theme that kind of runs through all of the ARPAs, which is high risk, high reward investment. You know, they're not looking for somebody that's just doing, you know, smaller, you know, a marginally better version of a current existing product. They're looking for somebody that's doing something that you've never even thought of before. And if you're building the next generational transportation technologies, then, you know, that the net zero lunatics are begging for and demanding equity for all, well, then they've got money for you. You can go to ARPA-I and get infrastructure money for your advanced technology. But it's, you know, it's filled, you read through their prospectus and everything that you need. It's just buzzwords galore. It's equity, it's inclusion, it's our, you know, strength, diversity, you know, net zero, climate change. It's all, you just read through and just go, give me a fucking break. Like, every buzzword is in it. It's really annoying. But that's what they do. They say that their investments are in emerging materials. That's what they're really focused on. They're focusing on entire newly designed systems and components to transform the transportation infrastructure. Well, we could use it. We could use it here in America. They've got high-speed trains in China and Japan and France, and we've got jack shit in America. We have trains that just derail all the time because it's windy outside, or because the tracks are built on like
unstable quicksand or something, you know? I mean, it's embarrassing, frankly, but that's what you get when you focus all your resources on building a drone swarm army instead of fixing the aqueduct system so that you get fresh water into your big cities. You know, why would we bother with anything like that? There's another one. Actually, there's two. IARPA. I've yet to figure out why sometimes the abbreviated letter goes in the front and why sometimes there's a hyphen and it goes at the back. I don't understand why. But this one is not ARPA-I, it's IARPA. They're super creative here. Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Agency. This was established in 2006, same time as the Homeland Security one was. This is within the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Again, high risk, high payoff research that delivers innovative technology for future overwhelming intelligence advances. Okay, that's what they're looking for. So what are they spending their money on? Well, this one actually is doing quite a bit of stuff, and it's kind of scary. So the Intelligence Advanced Research Project Agency, IARPA, is funding research into quantum computers, D-Wave, and things like that. They're involved in superconducting computers. They're interested in machine learning. They're looking at forecasting. They're doing a bunch of really scary shit, and like predictive policing, pre-crime, predictive employee behavior, forecasting for big corporate, like Philip K. Dick level stuff. Okay. Like a lot of pre-crime, a lot of like Minority Report, that's coming out of the Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Agency. So when you see Minority Report, came out in 2002, and it's based on a scenario of 2048, I think, is the goal, is the time it's supposed to take place in. You know, some of the technology that he was using in the movie, not the book, but the movie, is already out. You know, that movie's 20 years old. There's still another 20 years to go, but the technology that was fake, you know, futuristic technology in basically the year 2050, that technology already exists. And it's, I mean, if you want to get into the predictive programming of films, that's fine, but it's based on Minority Report. The movie is based on the Philip K. Dick book, The Minority Report. And in that, they talk about pre-crime. It's the theme of, it's the plot of the entire book. It's pre-crime. And, you know, when you watch that in 2002, you go, what is this? This is science fiction. And then you start to read the headlines these days and you go, well, that science fiction is creeping up into science reality. And it's a dangerous place that they're taking us. And then I mentioned there was one more. We'll wrap up with this last one. ARPA-C, Advanced Research Project Agency with the C at the end. What do you get? What do you think? Place your bets. Hey, if you guess C for climate, you are correct. Let me guess. High risk, high payoff? Is that the criteria for this investment? Probably. Climate research is clearly a form of money laundering. It's the least scientific component of the scientific industry. It is, it's that this money's being sloshed around. There's tons of it flowing into it. Climate is the carbon dioxide boogeyman is yet another invisible enemy, like terrorism or COVID or whatever. It's just around the corner. It's definitely going to kill you unless you give up your rights and pay more taxes to a bunch of pedophiles running your government. That's the plan. That's the only way you can fix the climate, is if you give Adam Schiff more money. If you give John Kerry, flew in on a private jet, goddammit, he doesn't have all day here to lecture you. He wants to tell you and lecture you good, so you need to listen to him. You're going to eat the bugs, because if you don't,
carbon dioxide is going to end this planet. And John Kerry, if there's one thing I know about John Kerry, besides the fact that somebody jerked off onto him while he was in a coffin during the skull and bones ritual, but we'll put that aside. I know that he cares about humanity. I know it because he's been in politics his entire life, you know? Well, besides that, yeah, I mean, yeah, basically his entire life. So when John Kerry tells me that he's serious about combating climate change, I know he's serious by the look on his face. Of course, the look on his face is frozen from all the Botox that he's injected, but I still know he's serious. I think he's serious. I mean, I'll tell you what, man, if you want to get into a real good snake oil job, get into in the climate grift, there's so much money. There's nobody will challenge you on it. Everybody's afraid to be called a climate Nazi, which I don't know if that is a term, but it will be. And they'll call you that. So it's an expansive Joe Biden government, you know, throwing money into never-ending agencies and funds for climate or intelligence or infrastructure. Funny, we've got the opportunity for some advances in infrastructure, yet bridges are closed and falling down all over. There's potholes everywhere. Can we invent some technology for better asphalt? Can we have the ARPA-I infrastructure component create better materials so that the roads don't disintegrate after one winter? Is that possible? Am I asking too much? Is that too much to ask? God damn it. I don't know. Listen, as long as there's all this money out there, as long as the deep state exists, they're going to find all these little committees and all these little pockets that they can use to gather additional resources so that they can... listen, deep state needs to eat, baby. That's really what it boils down to. You got all this money flowing through there. They want their hands on as much of it as they can get. And they don't care if they have to scare you with advanced research projects in order to do it. They've got plenty of them already. And my guess is that we'll see more of them in the future. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Please rate the show. It helps the algorithm. And if you want to connect with me, the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, the Twitter handle, @macroaggressions, Instagram @macroaggressionspodcast. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.